Mr. Nuttall was a very nervous man. He'd been undergoing treatment for several years now, and as he had an independent income and no need to work, he spent most of his time visiting friends and relatives. Before his nervous condition had come about, he'd been almost a total recluse, spending his time reading a large number of books. As a consequence, his visit to relatives consisted of meeting a large number of comparative strangers. It was in the early fall of the year when he knocked on the door of the Sappleton residence. He was ushered in by a very dignified 10-year-old girl who asked him to have a seat and told him that her aunt would be down shortly. She sat for a moment, glancing at a strangely bound book, and then, looking up, said, "Do you know many people around here?" "Hardly a soul," said Mr. Nuttall. "Then you know practically nothing about my aunt," said the girl. Mr. Nuttall admitted that he knew of her as a relative and her name and address. The young girl smiled sympathetically. Her great tragedy happened just 3 years ago. Tragedy? Inquired the nervous Mr. Nuttall. The girl pointed to the French windows leading to the lawn. You may wonder why we keep them open on an October afternoon. Well, it is quite warm for this time of the year, replied Mr. Nuttall, but has that window got anything to do with your aunt's tragedy? Oh, yes, said the girl. Out through that window, 3 years ago today, her husband and her two younger brothers went off for a day's hunting. They never came back. While crossing the moor to their favorite ground, they were all swallowed up in a treacherous piece of quicksand. Their bodies were never recovered. But that was the dreadful part of it. My poor aunt always thinks they will come back someday. They and the little brown dog that was lost with them will walk in that window just as they used to do. That is why the window is kept open every evening until nightfall. Poor dear aunt, she has often told me how they went out, her husband with his white raincoat over his arm, and Ronnie, her youngest brother, singing "Do You Ken John Peel," as he always did to tease her, because she said it got on her nerves. You know, on still quiet evenings like this, I almost get the creepy feeling that they will walk in that window. Mr. Nuttall shuddered and was quite relieved when the aunt came into the room with a burst of apologies for being late in making her appearance. I hope Vera has been amusing you, she said. She's been very interesting, said Mr. Nuttall, glancing in the direction of the open window. The long shadows of the late afternoon made the distant trees even gloomier, he thought. I hope you don't mind the open window, said the aunt in a brisk voice. My husband and brothers will be home shortly from hunting, and they always come in this way. They've been out in the marshland, so they'll make a fine mess on my carpets, just like you menfolk. She rattled on cheerfully about the hunting and the scarcity of birds and the prospects of duck in the winter. To Mr. Nuttall, it was all horrible. He made a desperate but only partially successful attempt to turn the talk to a less ghastly topic. He was conscious that his hostess was giving him only a fragment of her attention, and her eyes were constantly straying to the open window. It was certainly an unfortunate coincidence that he should have paid his visit on this tragic anniversary. The doctors agree in ordering me complete rest and an absence of mental excitement. On the matter of diet, they are not so much in agreement, said Mr. Nuttall, trying to capture the conversation. No, said the aunt, yawning. And then she suddenly brightened into alert attention. Mr. Nuttall shivered slightly and turned to the little girl to give her a look of sympathy. The child was staring out through the open window with dazed horror in her eyes. In a chill shock of nameless fear, Mr. Nuttall swung round in his seat and looked in the same direction. There, in the deepening twilight, three figures were walking across the lawn toward the window. They all carried guns under their arms, and one carried a muddy white raincoat. A tired brown spaniel was at their heels. Noiselessly, they neared the house, and then Mr. Nuttall heard,
"Do you ken John Peel, with his coat so grey? Do ye ken John Peel at the break of day? Do ye ken John Peel when he's far away? With a fox.
Mr. Nuttall grabbed his coat and headed for the front door. Flinging it open, he ran down the path, tried to jump the hedges, tripped and fell down. Picking himself up, he gave a terrified glance back at the house and ran down the road toward the railroad station. Back in the house, the figure carrying the muddy raincoat stepped in the open window and said, "We're home, dear. A bit muddy, but in time for supper. Who was that that ran out as we came up to the house?" "Oh, that was a Mr. Nuttall, dear," said the aunt, "some distant relative that dropped in for a visit. Extraordinary man. All he seemed to talk about was his illness. And when he saw you coming, dashed off without saying a word. I don't know what to make of it." The little girl shook her head gravely and said, "I expect it was the spaniel. Mr. Nuttall has a horror of dogs. He was telling me just before you came down that once he was chased into a cemetery by a pack of wild dogs and had to spend the night in a newly dug grave with the creatures snarling, grinning, and foaming just above him." "Oh, why, the poor man," said her aunt. "One would have thought that he had seen a ghost." The little girl smiled sweetly. Thank you.